I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send?
Wow, Dan, thank you for that. That is one of my favorite hymns of all times, and it really touches my heart every time I hear it, and you did a beautiful rendition of that. Thank you so much. Can we thank him again? And would you please stand with me for the hearing and the reading of this morning's gospel message that comes to us from John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Hear these words. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. And I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of grace, God of glory, God the living word, the incarnate word, we give you thanks always in every way for the gift of life we have in you, for your invitation to all of us to be a part of your certain victory and your true kingdom. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gift of these words today, all of the words that we have heard today from Acts, from Luke, and now from John. Bless us and impress every one of those words onto each and every one of our hearts, that we might be transformed by those words, that we might be and become the people of your kingdom, the people of your vineyard, that we might truly follow you with our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For it is in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Connected. You want to be connected? When I was a young man growing up in Lawrence, Massachusetts, my last name was Felici. And when I would introduce myself to people, they'd say, "Are you connected?" They were talking about, like, the mafia or the Yokosuka. No, we weren't connected that way. But I would say, yes, I'm connected. I'm connected to the living word of God. Are you connected? Dottie and I just have come back from a really wonderful respite. And I want to thank Tom for preaching for me last week. I want to thank all of the staff for filling in for me. And I just thank you that you gave me that opportunity to be away and to be reconnected with our family. We last saw them around Thanksgiving, and they've been yearning to see us, and we have been yearning to see them. And we looked for a time that we could get away, and this was an appropriate time. Dottie and I just celebrated yesterday our 44th year of marriage together. And so we're connected. And we were connected in a United Methodist Church 44 years ago. And we talked yesterday as we were driving back we stayed in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania on Friday night so that our trip would be made in half. And we were talking about the family that we have and the connections that we have. And Dottie was asking me, did you ever think that you would be this? Did you ever think that you would be that? Did you ever think that you were going to be a pastor? I never thought that was going to be a reality in my life. But we were connected. And we were connected together in God's word. We were connected together in the church. And our family is connected. And it's good to see them. We miss our family, and they miss us. And this past week, I had to go get my hair cut because it was getting long and shabby. And I was able to go to a barber that I hadn't seen in a good while. And actually, it was the barber shop is in North Andover, Massachusetts. But one of their employees is the uncle of the guy that's the proprietor of this barbershop. And he was the guy that used to cut my hair when I was in college. He cut my hair for years, and he cut my dad's hair. And he used to be Erky the barber. And then when in the 70s, he changed from the barbershop to a hairstylist, and he became Eric. And then his son is named Eric, and he joined him in the business. So now his name is Mr. Sid, but he's the same guy. And so I was going to get my hair cut, but it was at the same time that we were meeting together with my daughter Kelly and her kids, and she was on vacation from school. Her husband was still working, so we were going to have a nice lunch together at Kelly's house. And I told him, I said, well, I'm going to have to leave because I need to get my hair cut, and I could only get the time for this time because it takes months to get an appointment. I said, but I'd like to take, if it's okay with you, I'd like to take your son Robbie with me. And maybe if they have an opening, we could get him a haircut. He's never been to a barber. My daughter Kelly cuts his hair, and she does a beautiful job. And her husband has not gone to a barber in years and years and years. And so I said, I don't want to take this away from Sean. I don't want to spoil something that maybe he had planned. Kelly said, Sean's never going to a barber. He's not going to pay for a haircut. So no, take him, and this will be a nice time of bonding between you and Robbie, my first grandchild. He's 8 years old. And so we get in the car, and we're driving down to the barber. It's about a 40-minute drive from where my daughter lives. And so along the way, we get hungry. I say to Robbie, I said, "What? Are you hungry?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm hungry for a donut." I said, "You're hungry for a donut?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm hungry for a donut with like a chocolate brownie kind of mix with chocolate on top and white and sprinkles." I said, "Well, I don't know if we'll be able to find that, but let's go to this Heavenly Donut place that I know. It's near the barbershop, and we'll stop in there and see if we can get something like that." So we walk in the door, and right up on the top shelf is the exact donut that he described. His eyes got like silver dollars, and it was just a great time. So we had a donut. I had a jelly stick, which I love, and I had coffee. He had a big chocolate milk. We ate it pretty quickly because we had to get to the barber at 11:45. And so he told me, don't tell my mom because it'll spoil my lunch. I said, it's not going to spoil your lunch. We get to the barbers, they do mine first, and I said, you know, I asked them, I said, right after mine, if you do mine fast, can you do my grandson, Robbie? They said, we'll see. And he had told me, he says, you know, Nanu, I'm really shy. He says, I don't want to tell them how I want my hair cut, but I want to cut a certain way. I said, well, tell me how you want to cut, and I'll tell the barber. I said, but, you know, I was shy when I was your age, too. My dad used to make me go up to a counter and order stuff, and I didn't want to do it. I wanted him to do it, but he made me do it so that I wouldn't be shy. But I'm shy by nature. You are? I said, yeah, I'm very shy. And I said, I'm the last one to speak in a room. Really? I said, yeah. So don't feel bad about that. It means that you're just wise. You don't want to say something out of turn. He said, well, that's very true. So we went in there, got my hair cut, and now it's his turn. They put the stool up there for him. He sits up in the chair. I introduce him to the barber, and they start a really nice conversation. And he starts asking him about school. Next thing you know, I go and sit down because Rob, he's fine. He's connected now. He's connected with this barber. He's connected with what's going to go on, and the barber's going to give him this great haircut. And so he did. He gave him a great haircut. We paid for the thing, and I thought, well, you know, we're supposed to be back at Kelly's for lunch, but it's going to be another 40-minute drive, and they probably already ate lunch, so I text my daughter. I said, is it all right if I take Robbie out for lunch? That would be great, you know. That'll be a nice bonding time for the two of you. So I asked Robbie, I said, if you had a place that you could go for lunch, where would it be? What's your favorite place? He said, my favorite food is a Whopper. I said, a Whopper? He says, yeah, it's a big hamburger. I don't like the cheese on it, but I like the lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, and extra pickles, and no onions. I said, okay, you're talking about a Whopper. He said, yeah, that's it, the Whopper. I said, okay. He said, I have a theory, Nanu. I said, what's your theory? He said, my theory is that no matter where you live in the world, there is a Burger King within 6 minutes. I said, well, let's test that theory out. So I Google, you know, from the barbershop, how fast to get to the nearest Burger King. 3.1 miles. He says, see, I'm telling you. So we end up at the Burger King right across the street from the college I attended, Merrimack College. And they don't have indoor seating, but we get the burger and we're sitting down in the back of the Buick with the tailgate up and we're tailgating together. And Robbie said to me, this is the greatest day of my life. I never want this day to end. This is the greatest day of my life. I just want to stay here forever. And I said, oh, Robbie, it's the greatest day of my life too, being here with you and sharing these things together. We were connected, really connected. It was good to come home to Kelly's house, and my granddaughter, who she calls Yaya, she calls herself Yaya, Amelia Grace. We say, Amelia. She goes, my name's not Amelia. It's Yaya. I thought she called herself Yaya because she couldn't say Amelia. No, she can say Amelia. She just wants to be called Yaya. She's hugging me around my leg. And Jasper, my grandson, he's drawn this picture, and he's so excited to give it to me so that I could put it up in our house and cut it out of the book. And just a great time. We were really, really connected. Jesus in the gospel today talks about connection, but he talks about connection in God's vineyard. And he talks about the nation of Israel as a vine and the people of God as God's vineyard. In fact, not just in John, but in other areas in the Bible, it's clear that God refers to the nation of Israel as a vineyard. Psalm 80, it says this, restore us, God Almighty, make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. You transplanted the vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it and took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars and with its branches. Its branches reached out as far as the sea, its shoots as far as the rivers. And then these words, why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it and insects from the fields feed on it? Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down, it is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man you have raised for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. It refers to the Son of Man who is seated at the right hand of the Father. Before it happens, the vine. And now today, Jesus is saying, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. He goes on to say that he is the vine, but his Father is the husbandman, the one that prunes the vines. Have you ever seen grapevines growing in a vineyard and you see them cut back? There are grapevines that are planted, and you know that they don't allow fruitfulness on a grapevine for at least 3 years so that the roots will be firmly established and that the vine can really provide. And then when the time comes after the 3 years, it begins to have fruit. And then even then, they'll cut off branches that are not fruitful. When I was a young man, we lived in Lawrence, Massachusetts. My dad owned a three-story tenement house. It's an apartment building. We lived on the first story. My aunt and uncle, they lived on the second. And my grandparents lived on the third. You know, talk about accessibility for the elderly. But they never came down. We would bring them groceries. The only time they came down was on Sundays when we would go to church together and then go into the beach after church. And so my grandparents were up there on the third floor. We were all connected together. But in the backyard at our house, we had this wonderful grape arbor. I mean, it was massive. And these vines were old, and yet they were pruned, and they were fruitful. And so we would have grapes from that, Concord grapes. My parents, my dad, my Uncle Hal, and my Uncle Paul, every summer, they would gather the grapes, and they would make, not grape juice, but wine. And they would go into Boston and get some other types of grapes and do a mixture, and they had their own Dago red wine stuff that we would have on our table. And even as a young man, I had some of that. It was good. It was very good. My mom and my Aunt Rose, they would make grape jelly from those same grapes. And grapes jelly that you have never tasted, so robust, so full of flavor. And they would fill up these jars, and then they would pour this paraffin wax over top of it to seal it. And we couldn't wait to open those things up. Now, my Uncle Hal, his name was Halim Saad. He was Syrian, Lebanese and Syrian. And he had a use for the grape leaves. He would take those grape leaves down off of the grape. After you know, the season was over, he'd collect all the grape leaves. And then he'd put them in brine, and he'd prepare it, and my Aunt Rose would make stuffed grape leaves. Now, the Greeks make that, but the Syrians and the Lebanese make it a little bit different. It's a little tastier to me. And we just had some of those when we were up in New England, and boy, the taste of that. Nothing was wasted in that vine. Even the mashings, I won't tell you what they made with that, but there's a thing called grappa that they would make with that. I am the vine, and you are the branches, Jesus tells us. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. If we're not tied to that vine, look at Jesus. Even when he was here on earth, he was always tied to the Father, always praying to the Father. He would get away for a while and go to a high place and pray to God. Even though he is God in the flesh, he is the living Word, he still needed that connection. We need the connection too. And in this age of COVID, when we've been separated, we have been connected through the miracle of internet, through TV, through all of that. But there's nothing like physical presence. There's nothing like being here together and allow God to shape us. I am the vine, he says, and you are the branches. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. And then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean we can't do anything. It means we can't do anything of eternal value, like Tom was talking about in the stewardship nugget today. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Remain in me. Stay connected. Stay together, and you will bear much fruit. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for our connection in you. We thank you that you are always available to us. Even when we're by ourselves, you are with us. Your Spirit abides with us and us with you. You tell us in your word that if your word remains in us, in other words, if we pay attention to what you teach us, you will remain in us and we will be fruitful. And so, Lord, we just ask as your people that you would remain in us and that we would remain in you, and that we would be fruitful followers of the living God, that others might come to know you and celebrate your love and your grace and your mercy and your fruit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.